This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Clemson with the ball down 4, 10 seconds to go. Front court Hunter, over to Zachary, got a launch. Banker 3, won't go, loose, scrum, Hunter, drives, lays it in at the buzzer, it's not enough, McNeese with the upset, let the March Madness begin.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, Chris Carino and Jordan Cornette on the call in Providence, and this was a fun one. McNeese hangs on, Pearl, to beat Clemson, not for the Clemson fans, it was maybe one of the worst first halves of basketball from a high major school that we've seen. Clemson only lost 2 games in the ACC all year long, and then they just completely fell flat against McNeese. Let's not forget, we thought last year McNeese was going to be the Cinderella and be the darling of the tournament. Didn't happen. So Clemson really should not have been taken by surprise that McNeese was going to come in super motivated. They come in, they win, they hang on at the end to win. And it was one of 2 of the big upsets from the day. McNeese over Clemson, and then Drake over Mizzou was the other big one.
By the way, if I told you, just watching McNeese and Clemson, blind resume, I would not have thought that McNeese was the underdog in that game. They looked kind of bigger, faster, stronger, more, and by the way, plenty of experience. That did not feel like a shocking upset by any means at all. And McNeese does have a strangling defense, so Clemson did look bad. And then it felt like they woke up way too late in that game.
Definitely. And now McNeese goes on to play Purdue, and Purdue got past High Point. You know, High Point was in that game. That was one of my darlings, so I totally fell flat with High Point. Mm-hmm. I had him going to the Sweet 16. But, you know, Purdue was like, I want to say comfortably in the lead. High Point could never, they were in the game, but could never really make a run where you thought they were going to actually win it. But Purdue, outside of, you know, last year when they get to the championship game, they, you know, kind of have this bad reputation, Matt Painter does, of being, you know, a tournament disappointment. So now McNeese takes on Purdue. That's definitely not a given. So we get some really fun second round matchups just even from yesterday. Houston and Gonzaga is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for that one. And then, of course, what we saw from the 2 Hall of Fame coaches who squared off against each other last night. John Calipari gets the better of Bill Self, and now Calipari goes on to face his big arch nemesis, Rick Pitino, in round 2.
Feels like we also, too, we haven't had the major, major, major 1 or 2 seed struggle. Maybe today we get that. Is there any small private New Jersey school that is in this field? Remember there was that run?
St. Peter's, Princeton.
There was another
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah, we need, I want to see a 1 or 2 seed really get in trouble. Obviously, it felt like Houston and Auburn and all our powerhouses are safe, but it's a big day. You know, it's funny. You were talking about your bracket.
Yeah.
You lost some Sweet 16. I don't think you're quite busted, but you have Duke winning it all.
No, I changed to Michigan State, remember? Because the entire country had Duke winning it all, so good. I faded the public.
Well, that's good. You're back in. Because if you had Duke, you were already in big trouble, because I looked at our bracket challenge. There's so many Dukes in there that you have to be perfect to win with Duke. Michigan State, you could make some noise if they go all the way. Although I know you can't feel great about it after yesterday's show.
You know, the bloodbath. Yeah, the Pearl Jam Season 4 is off to an amazing start. So thanks to everyone who signed up for our bracket challenge. There is somebody who has a perfect bracket. David Wedley. So, David.
Yeah, David.
Big up to you. He also is Michigan State winning it all.
Well, I bet yesterday's show because betting expert, BetMGM Nick Casos, told you you were way off.
He's picking Bryant to upset Michigan State.
Yeah.
So that would be bad. I'm hoping Nick is big wrong about that one.
Well, that makes it super fun because it's March Madness. Who knows?
We're asking what's the best and worst thing you saw from day one. Let's go to James, who's in LA. James, what's the best thing you saw yesterday?
What's up, people? How are we doing this morning? Hey, I know I told you guys Clemson last week or earlier this week, and that went bust, but my UCLA Bruins look good.
I think
they're going to make a run. I think since Tyus Edney went baseline back in 95, man, you know what I mean? So we're going to make John Wooden proud, keep that thing going, and I was going to ask you guys, you talking about Calipari and Pitino. I loved Calipari when he was at UMass, but if they were friends like that, when did they really fall out? I remember Romy did an interview with him, and they were just like kind of nonchalant about it. But, you know, everybody else that was watching it was like, you know, they wanted them to kind of get along, I guess. And they were just, you know, Calipari does this thing. I mean, John Cheney wanted to kill Calipari.
That's an all-timer, the UMass Temple rivalry. So it's a great question. Like, when did they really become rivals? Because, James, I was telling the story before about how Rick Pitino actually put John Calipari up for that UMass job all those years ago and kind of was responsible for Cal's big break. And, James, thanks so much for the call, and good luck to your UCLA Bruins going up against Tennessee in the next round. Is going to be tough. But both coaches will say, Perloff, that there's not, like, hate there. Like, Pitino was saying, like, the hate relationship he really had was with Jim Calhoun. They really hated each other when they were going back and forth. But he says he doesn't hate him. I just think it had to be, if I were to guess, I think it just had to be when they were in-state recruiting against each other. You know, when Rick's at Louisville and when Calipari is at Kentucky, you know, that's so familiar in each other's backyards, you know, going after the same guys. However, when John Calipari had that awesome UMass team with Marcus Camby, when they ended up going,
I think they made the
35
Final
Four. 35-1. They actually upset Rick Pitino's Kentucky team that season. So maybe that's where it started. I don't know.
I saw that team, that Camby team at the Palestra, you know, the famous arena, in high school go against a sick Temple team. It was Camby. I think Lou Rowe was still there at UMass. He was their big star. And Camby in person was spectacular in college. But Temple was just as good. The thing is, they're mirror images of each other. Slick back hair, Italian names.
Yeah.
Big recruiters. I do think that
Hall of Famers.
I'm noticing one thing that people are giving Pitino the strategic edge. That's always been the rap on Cal, that he's the best recruiter, but he's not the best coach.
Well, and I think we saw a little bit of it even yesterday in the game against Kansas. If Kansas had been able to hit a shot, Arkansas was in big trouble in that game. And I thought it was a mistake that, you know, Boogie Flan, who is, you know, Manny went to your high school, right, Manny? Or
I just covered his games.
Covered his games. From the New York area.
Stepanek High School, baby.
He hasn't played in 2 months, so he's inbounding the ball in this really crucial moment where Kansas had just cut the deficit to 3. Flan maybe doesn't know that he can run the baseline. We're not really sure. He's not really moving around. Steve Lapis is losing his mind on TV, and he has to call timeout, and then they put Flan back in to try to inbound the ball again. Still can't get the ball in, still not moving, standing like a statue. Burns the second timeout, and this is with 12 seconds left. I mean, that was dicey.
Yeah,
special.
As Cal said after the game, I don't care if they call all. They did call all the timeouts.
You say that
you were so sure Kansas was going to hit that shot if they'd got it.
They had just hit a three. I don't know. I don't know. Kansas lost one of their best players in KJ Adams in the second half, but still, that was danger time. That would have been a major like check mark on Calipari if they had blown that game. But they don't, and they're moving on.
My heart would have been broken for Boogie as well. But you know, they got the job done. And now he has to pay against Coach Pitino.
Remember, Cal's the guy who left the Harrison twins on the floor while booking Euless on the bench in that Wisconsin game all those years ago.
Ray, someone tells you someone may have had a couple dimes on that game.
That happened like a decade ago, right?
I'll never get over it.
Coach Cal holds the 13-10 edge over Rick Pitino as far as them being college players. They split four games when they were both NBA head coaches.
Yeah, this is, by the way, Arkansas, another Nick Casso's favorite yesterday. This St. John's game is going to be real. And you know St. John's, right? They will definitely play down to Arkansas for most of the game and then try and strangle them at the end. Oh, this is going to be, this is game of the tournament? Can we say that?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's shaping up to be that way for sure. I should mention 2012 Final Four, Calipari and Pitino faced each other, Cal won. 2014 Sweet 16 faced each other, and Cal won. So that's the recent history, but Pitino is coming in with the better roster, you could say, right now. They're the two seed in that East region, excuse me, the West region, and Arkansas is the 10 seed. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476.
New phone, who dis?
You can call us up and tell us the best and worst thing you saw from day one. Can I go away from the tournament for 1 second? Because he's endlessly fascinating, kind of. And that's Bronny James. He scored 17 points yesterday, Pearl, but that was in a loss to the Bucks, so it doesn't matter. But it was on the heels of Bronny giving his first ever exclusive interview to a friend of the show, Joe Vardon, for The Athletic. And I thought one of the biggest things that Bronny said in this interview is that he absolutely is hearing the criticism. He said, "I'm not a bleeping robot. I don't have any feelings or emotions, but I just take that and use it as fuel for me to go out, wake up every day, get to the gym early, get my extra work in, watch my extra film every day, and get better every day." And, you know, Bronny acknowledging all the stuff that's swirling around him, which got ratcheted up to an all-time high of drama when Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James are basically having it out on the floor of the Crypto Center. And the fact that Bronny is like, I do hear it, I do see it, and I'm using it as fuel. It got me thinking about something when it comes to Bronny. What is actually a successful career for him? You know, coming in garbage time in an NBA game and getting 17 points is fine, but that's not going to be, that's not a career, right? That's a bench warmer player. What can he actually do to be not just LeBron's son and sort of the centerpiece of all this Nepo baby drama and actually have a good career? What does that look like for Bronny?
Like 8 years in the NBA, 9 points a game. That'd be amazing, right? Yeah.
Like a post, you know, post LeBron, he's long retired, yeah, like, and Bronny stands on his own 2 feet.
Right, like as the eighth player on a team. That would be, to me, a massive success and one I don't necessarily expect. What do you
Can
think?
That be on a good team, do you think? Or is that on a, is he a rotation player on a bad team?
No, a rotation player on the Wizards. Okay. Like eighth. I think that if he could extend his NBA career off the Lakers, that'd be a huge success. And actually play meaningful minutes on a team. I mean, again, he's already 20. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Do you think what do you see it as?
You know, I think this is the best thing that LeBron could do for him. I do firmly believe that once LeBron's done playing, I think he's going to want to own a team, right? So whether it's an expansion team to Las Vegas, whether it's the expansion team going back to Seattle, I think the NBA definitely wants to expand, and I think that LeBron's going to have a hand in it.
But that
Bronny can't play on that team. I think it'd be better for him to stand on his own 2 feet. Yeah. Don't play for the Lakers. Don't play for Dad's team. And if he can actually make a roster somewhere else, I think that would be a really big, like, achievement for him. Someone actually likes him for him, basketball, not just because he's LeBron's kid.
LeBron is going to get a team the year after he leaves? What? I don't understand.
You think
no way. It's going to be really hard to get a team.
I think LeBron's going to be like...
To go right from the Lakers in 2 years to owning the Las Vegas team, that's a lot that goes into that.
I mean, Michael Jordan wasn't that far off when he, you know, retired from the Bulls for the second time and then became a part owner of the Wizards. Like, you can get into these organizations pretty fast.
Okay, he's a part-time owner.
Yeah, and then but like Tom Brady with the Raiders, like Brady owns what, 10% less?
5%.
Yeah, very, very little in the front office making decisions about who's who and what's what. I think for Bronny, you know, and again, we're talking about Bronny doing an interview for the first time with Joe Vardon from The Athletic and saying, I hear the criticism. I'm not a robot. I definitely understand it, and I use it as fuel. I'm like, well, what does a successful career look like to him?
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you. You saw the highlights last night. Is there any chance he's a star? I still don't think so. I was watching the tournament yesterday. There's tons of players at his capability, tons and tons of players. And the line between being, say, the 10th guy on the bench and a real star is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it's just too large of a canyon to cross over again. So to me, the high end is the 8th player on the Wizards, which would be amazing. I mean, wouldn't that be great? I don't see any chance of him being a Steph Curry type. Because he's not big.
Yeah. No.
Unless he's like an incredible outside shooter. Like he could be 10 feet behind the line consistently. And even that's not a guarantee in the NBA because we've seen Jimmy Fredette do that and he can't even stick to a roster.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN. One thing that Bronny, I think, does have going for him, and I know this is going to sound like she's got a great personality type of compliment. I think people like him. I do. I know that there's like the Nepo baby and people think he cut the line and all of that. But as far as his public persona, which is not that much, I think people don't have a problem with him. He doesn't act like a spoiled brat. He doesn't act like it. He's been given things, no doubt. But he's not out there. We don't have stories of him being mean to regular people, being entitled, holier than thou. He's not out there. Do you have any idea who my father is? I don't think he's pulling that kind of thing. So I don't think people he doesn't come across as an entitled brat.
So how would that get him playing minutes?
Not playing minutes. I'm just saying likability. So I don't know what the next move is for Bronny. Does he go into media? Is he a commentator? I mean, he's got charisma. Is there something else where he has another career that's actually better and bigger than the one for basketball?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's 20. I don't think he's thinking about that yet. I think he's desperately trying to figure out how do I become a rotational player with the Lakers, which every 20-year-old. So you've already advanced him to the commentator stage?
I don't know. I'm like, maybe Bronny ends up having this really successful podcast. Who knows? Like, I'm looking at Michael Jordan's kids and, you know, not to always compare Jordan to LeBron, but Marcus Jordan, it's Marcus, right? The one who keeps getting in trouble?
The one with Pippen? Yeah.
Like, that's not great. You know, again,
I'd watch a show about Marcus, though. He's very entertaining in the wrong ways.
That's true. Got pulled over on some train tracks. He's like, I don't know how I got here. I took a left turn and I ended up on railroad tracks. That doesn't happen.
And somehow Dad made that go away.
And he did the, do you have any idea who my father is?
Well, I think one thing that really hurts Bronny, can we all be honest?
What?
The mom's height. I mean, how come you're only 6'2" and your dad is gigantic?
I know. How dare he fall in love with Savannah?
Yeah. I'm not blaming her, but...
Sounds like you are.
Well, I mean, Bryce is 6'7". Why is Bronny only 6'2.5"? I don't think he's a legit 6'3".
They told us Bronny was 6'3" a few years ago, and all he's done is shrunk since.
Yeah, there's no way that dude is 6'3". If he was taller, oh, man, I'd be all in.
888-710-4ISN. Back to the tournament. Joe's in Columbus. Joe, what's the best thing you saw yesterday?
Guys, I see a lot of basketball daily, and I can tell you right now, one guy that's very underrated coach, I'm surprised that nobody's talking about him. I love McDermott. I love that Creighton team. Ashworth is incredible. Kalkenbrenner does his thing. They run multiple sets. They can play the 94-foot game. They can rebound. They shoot free throws well. I'm picking them to go to San Antonio, and I'm picking them to definitely knock off Auburn. And one more thing, guys, and then I'll get off here. I want to know, when Fran McCaffrey of Iowa got the two technicals, is that what got him ousted at Iowa during the Big Ten tournament?
You know, Joe, good call all around. I mean, having Creighton go to the Final Four, the way they looked yesterday and how they took care of Louisville, I could see it, but Auburn's going to be tough. And I think we've all talked about Coach McDermott as being awesome for a long, long time. I think Fran McCaffrey was definitely on the way out before. I don't think anything he could have done, considering how entrenched he was in Iowa, there's not one thing he could have done that would have tipped the scales, Pearl. I think they obviously, the Fran McCaffrey era has run its course.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk about this point guard on Creighton? He would drive me insane if I was trying to cover that guy. He's just one of those annoying NCAA tournament point guards. Because I had Louisville advancing, and I was like, do not let this Ashworth kid do this. Do not let him. Oh, God, he got another three. I was screaming at that game. By the way, I got super invested in a lot of these games for my bracket yesterday.
I'm sure.
I had to turn it off Drake, Missouri, when Drake was blowing its lead, right?
I had to turn it.
Yeah. So that's why I actually am like,
you
know what?
You couldn't find Drake on a map that all of a sudden you couldn't watch.
I couldn't watch because they were my big, I have them going to the Sweet 16. So I actually flipped around. I'm like, you know what? I have to turn the channel. And every movie from our sequels bracket is actually on cable TV last night. So I had to take breaks because I was just too intense. Because, you know, when you have a darling, Drake was blowing it.
Yeah,
you could
were.
See them panicking in real time.
You're right, though. I noticed this too yesterday, maybe because we're doing this movie sequels bracket and we're going to update you on the LA region results in just a moment. Why are all these sequels on TV right now? You can't get an original.
Well, Twister, the original.
Oh, that was on yesterday? Kill Bill Volume 2 was on yesterday. All these Marvel ones that are in our bracket were all on.
Incredibles 2, amazing movie, by the way. I can't believe you haven't seen that one yet.
I'll get there.
When your kid gets a little bit older, you'll see it. It's great.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. New phone, who dis? The best and worst thing you saw from the tournament yesterday, and we will update our movie sequel bracket next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
All right, I'm excited here because we got the NASCAR race preview sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. Hit it, Manny.
Vroom, vroom, y'all. The NASCAR Cup Series is down at Homestead Miami Speedway for the Straight Talk Wireless 400. Josh Berry in the number 21 Woods Brothers Ford Mustang. He visited Victory Lane last week in Las Vegas, snapping Christopher Bell's 3-race winning streak. And one has to keep an eye on Tyler Reddick in the number 45 Camry for 2311 Racing. He won at Homestead Miami last season. It's the Straight Talk Wireless 400 from Homestead Miami Speedway. Green flag wave Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern.
Manny, fantastic job.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this, aren't I?
I have been to a Homestead Motor Speedway a couple times, and I got to ride in a car with Ryan Blaney.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We were
going to drive number 21 as well.
We were going, I would have thought we were doing ludicrous speed. Like, I thought my brain was in the back of the car.
110 miles an hour, right?
I don't know. But one thing I appreciated is that he was very casually talking to me. We were filming a video and doing a thing for SI at the time. And he was very casually talking to me, but never took his eyes off the road. Thank you, Ryan, because I was watching my life flash behind my
precious cargo.
What if he pulled out his phone and started texting his wife?
Tweeting. Like, oh, gosh. Are we doing a TikTok right
now?
Honey,
you want to go play 18?
I was very scared. I can't be in cars moving that fast.
On the Speedway with
but
Maggie.
Homestead was awesome. It is a really cool venue. You're basically out in the Everglades. It's really awesome. And that's what I got on that. Let's get to our Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. All right, I don't know if you guys were keeping track with what was going on yesterday. This is carnage. We were waiting for the big upsets to come in the movie sequel bracket. Never saw this coming in a million years. Let's get to it. Well, in the number one overall seed in this region, the L.A. region, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. That was an easy win over the 16 seed Revenge of the Nerds 2.
You forgot to say please.
Get him off me! Yeah, that was a walkover. We also had a little bit of chalk in the 8-9 matchup. The 8th seed, Back to the Future 2, easily takes care of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Great Scott, the sleeping sir! I was afraid of this. Because I used it on Jennifer, there wasn't enough power left to knock your son out for a full hour. Damn!
Doc, look at this. It's changing.
Okay, here's where things get nuts. The 12th seed, Pearl, Minions, The Rise of Gru, thumps the 5th seed,
banana.
Blade Runner 2049.
Hello, tres tiquetas por San Francisco.
San Francisco, okay. How will you be paying?
No problemo.
Oh, great. You know, if you have any hairballs, we can upgrade you to first class. Get out.
To be fair, Blade Runner 2049 wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's also a slog and depressing as all get out.
It also came out in 1981, so there might be a little, damn. Right? Isn't that when it came out, Blade Runner?
Blade Runner 2049 came out like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, right? I'm sorry. Mad Max 2 was the one who came out in 1981. Pardon me.
Yeah, Blade Runner 2 with Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford is kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Rise of Gru should complain about their seating.
2040 snooze.
Yeah, Rise of Gru has a huge Rotten Tomatoes score. It's one of the best Minion movies. Have you guys seen that one, by the way? They go to the convention. It's amazing.
Blade Runner 2049 came out in 2017, for what it's worth.
Oh, sorry about 2017. That. I was thinking of Mad Max, which we'll get to in just a moment. Yeah. But that was a big upset. Minions over Blade Runner, at least by the seeding. We move on. This is the L.A. region of the Maggie and Perloff movie sequels bracket. The 4th seed, X2, takes care of the 13th seed, Barbershop 2.
We thought Bobby was going to a school for the gifted.
Bobby is the gifted.
We know that. We just didn't realize
we still love you, Bobby. It's just this mutant problem is a little...
What mutant problem?
Complicated.
We move on. The 6th seed, Mission Impossible 2. This is sad for the show.
Very much so.
Sends home the 11th seed, 22 Jump Street.
Pull over and listen to me, will you? Just listen.
Listen to what?
I need your help. And I think you can use mine.
Your help? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Scotland Yard, Interpol, every Dutch authority. I can make them all go away.
Oh, bloody hell. You're a spy!
Sad for 22 Jump Street.
You don't want to go up against Cruz, though. I mean, what did you expect?
My name is Jeff.
It's such a shame. We love 22 Jump Street around here. Okay, how about this for an upset for you guys? The third seed, Mad Max 2 Road Warrior, goes down improbably to the 14 seed, Naked Gun 2.5.
Because I'm the last line of defense between sleaze like this and the decent people in this town.
Oh, hi, Frank. Say, we got that model D83 Swedish Sure Grip suck machine in that you ordered.
It's a gift.
Playing a Naked Gun at a 14 seed is very dangerous in this bracket.
Well, it's funny because this whole movie sequel bracket really was born out of my love of movie sequel comedies, yeah, which Perloff makes fun of me incessantly for and have really done terribly in this tournament. Caddyshack 2, Revenge of the Nerds 2, they all just got swept away. But meanwhile, Naked Gun 2.5 comes in with the big win over Mad Max 2.
But I would say that the quality of Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear, by the way, you're forgetting to say the subtitle, is way above like Meatballs 2 and Revenge of the Nerds.
Naked Gun is a title contender in his tournament.
As a 14 seed.
Yeah.
Crazy upset.
By the way, I'm looking at some stats. Naked Gun 2.5 is only 1 hour and 25 minutes long. It's basically a Netflix episode. Yeah.
But it's like a joke every 2 seconds.
Oh, it's amazing.
Two more to go here. The 7 seed, Die Hard 2, takes out the 10 seed, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Clay, situation covered. You get this parking ticket in front of my airport? Yeah. Yeah, what the hell? It's Christmas!
And that settles that. And the second seed, Spider-Man Far From Home, an easy win over the 15 seed, Finding Dory.
What would make you think that I was Spider-Man?
Peter Washington?
Yeah.
The fact that you, like, disappear out of nowhere for no reason?
No, I was sick. Remember, I had the tummy?
You know Susan Yang thinks that you're a male escort.
What? No, of course I'm not a male escort.
Well, then you're Spider-Man.
Say it again. Zendaya sounds exactly like Mina Kimes to me in my ear. So anyway, Spider-Man.
Big Zendaya guy.
I'm sure you are. Spider-Man,
take?
Far From
Home. Yeah,
that makes sense. Way to go out and live there.
Damn you, Tom Holland.
So there you go. That is the updated LA region. So you can go and vote on these round two matchups that are now live.
You tweeted something about Die Hard 2 being a dangerous one. Although, and I love the Die Hard series, but Die Hard 2 happen is when they go to DC. Mm. It's definitely a weak spot in that trilogy. I don't remember anything about that one. It's about airplanes, right?
I thought Die Hard Independence Day is what, 3?
The one where they're in New York is amazing with Samuel L. Jackson.
With a Vengeance.
Yeah, that's Die Hard with a Vengeance. That might be 3.
I think sometimes people are voting on how much they like the original movie as well. Back to the Future 2. Everyone loves Back to the Future. Now, Back to the Future 2, quality-wise, is not great.
I think you're being too harsh on Back to the Future 2. They brought back everybody. You know, it's Michael J. Fox. Yeah. It's Christopher Lloyd. They're doing great, Scott. They got the gigawatts. I mean, and you got Biff with the sports almanac. That was a good movie.
It's the third one
when they go to the Wild Wild West. That was not very good, and that's why it did not make it into the field of 64.
Well, you know, the thing about those movies is they filmed them both at the same exact time.
Which ones? One and two?
Two and three.
Oh, two and three.
So there's many signs to me. A sequel, if you do it as you film two movies at once, it's bad. If you replace a star, that's bad. And Back to the Future 2 did do a little bit of cast realignment, right? Didn't Elizabeth Shue leave or come into that series? They replaced somebody.
I mean, but you got Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, so I feel like you got the real main cogs.
Yeah, so you had them in three. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. This is just my opinion. You can vote. You can go. Now it's got to go against Terminator 2 Judgment Day. You're telling me that they can take down Liquid Terminator? I'd like to see that.
Nobody takes down Liquid Terminator except for Arnold Schwarzenegger eventually.
Yeah, and he's never dead until he goes into the molten lava at the end.
I just am really surprised with Naked Gun 2.5. I mean, talk about returning everybody. Leslie Nielsen, Priscilla Presley back, George Kennedy, OJ, obviously, now very controversially. Who? Robert Goulet is in this movie.
I think if it had gone against Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, because everyone likes Tina Turner, and it's cool to say Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, cool.
You might even say, we don't need another hero. Do you want me to sing?
Please.
We don't need another hero.
You're not going to do the next line?
I don't even know it. Hit it, Mac. Jump
no,
in.
We don't. I'm not. No. I didn't lose a bet. We and I, you didn't either. And I don't know why you're singing.
Bogus.
Manny?
Bogus, you're turning red for me.
Yeah.
Manny, have you ever heard that song?
No, you I just, haven't either.
You've never heard the theme Tina to Mad Turner? Max from Tina Turner? We yeah. don't need another hero?
That's honestly why
Timmy
I
Turner?
Think...
Wait a minute, Manny. I know Manny has an excuse here because he just discovered anything that happened before 2000, five minutes ago. Manny just discovered ABBA. It's like, hey, hell of a band. Do you know anything about Tina Turner?
Manny. Singer.
Oh, you're going to love
anything
her.
More?
She's still with us, right? I knew about ABBA like 3 days ago.
She just passed away.
Yeah, you see, that's a singer who recently passed away. That's what I got on Tina Turner.
Name Tina.
Man. Manny, there's so much out there for you. I'm jealous you get to discover Tina Turner for the first time.
I like to just hang out in my own shell, in my own little world, dark room.
Now you got ABBA now. Things are looking sunnier.
Oh, yeah. Mamma Mia, here we go again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's them, right?
Yep.
I'm a genius.
That's sad. Very sad.
How about Perloff just belting out the Tina Turner? Like, yeah. I applaud you for that. Well done.
I kind of held back a little bit. I felt like I mean, Tina.
Don't hold back on us, man. Let it out. Let it go. Let your songbird fly. Come on.
What's the other movie where Whitney sings?
Bodyguard.
I'd like to hear.
You got a little "I Will Always Love You"
no,
in you?
I know you've done that at karaoke.
No, definitely. If I do, I do not remember it.
Oh, wait, Tina Turner's Simply the Best, right?
Yes, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, Simply the Best. Yeah, 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 of course.
Is that what the club remix?
I got it. I think Manny's right on. Bogus has headlines for us. You want to sing them?
Save us, Bogus.
Drake, the basketball team, was thinking upset last night in Wichita, building a 15-point lead on Missouri. But those Tigers got within one. But those Bulldogs had an answer.
To Mascari, near the timeline, ahead to Sturts. The lob, Tavion Banks with the two-handed flush. He beats his chest. Drake can feel it now. They lead 63-55. With 52 seconds left.
Ted Emmerich on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. 67-57, the final score of the upset. Bennett Sturts threw that lob for his fourth assist, also scoring 22 points. His head coach, Ben McCollum.
We just fought. That's kind of what we have to do is just continue to fight, continue to grind, and continue to compete. We've got guys that want to do that, that want it hard, and they were able to do it.
Drake now preps for the 3-seed Texas Tech, who fought off UNC Wilmington last night 82-72. Elsewhere in the West region, St. John stumped Omaha 83-53 after Arkansas snuck past Kansas 79-72, setting up this Patino-Calipari showdown tomorrow afternoon in Providence.
Cinema.
Michigan survived against UC San Diego 68-65. And Texas A&M sent Yale home 80-71. Away from all of that, Fordham canceled my podcast yesterday by firing its co-host, its lead host, the head coach, Keith Urgo, after 3 seasons.
Aw.
So, boo.
Sorry, buddy.
I saw that you were not happy about that.
Not even a little bit.
And a lot of the alumni expressed that same sentiment as well, Bogues.
There's it's not going well when you have a 0% approval rating of a decision.
Now, why do you think they did it?
No one really knows, which is part of the confusion.
Mm.
What makes you think you can't just do a podcast with the next head coach?
I mean, you couldn't call it the Keith Urgo show. It's not the whole new...
Oh, that'd be awkward.
Yeah. Branding issue. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah, we'll need some new graphics.
Yeah, for sure. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I don't know who the new head coach is. You might have a closer friend to do a show with. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Tobin Anderson's available now.
You might get a better head coach, you realize. And no offense to Coach Urgo, but, you know, Fordham wasn't doing that great.
Fordham did not have a good year this year at all. That's very true. I guess, theoretically, they could hire someone that would be better, but it doesn't sound like they're close to having anybody. Like Manny just mentioned Tobin Anderson. Iona fired him because they had a guy they were bringing in. That's not the case here, so...
But I thought Iona got rid of Tobin Anderson because of NIL issues.
they got rid of Tove Anderson because there were issues with donors, and they're bringing in a guy who the donors wanted, who apparently has a lot of cash and has LeBron tweeting about him last night.
I understand. Wow. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell tweeted about it as well. Yeah. So, I mean, the guy's popular. The guy that Iona is getting is pretty popular within the NBA players. So.
Yes.
So Tobin Anderson, you remember, was the darling of the tournament a couple years ago. Correct. When he took Fairleigh Dickinson to the...
Beat Purdue
and then lost, though, right?
Biggest upset in tourney history.
So there's some, well, tied with UMBC, right?
Yeah, but I think FDU was a far worse team than UMBC was.
But every headline, NIL's behind us somewhere, right? Is this an NIL thing?
Well, there's an NIL problem at Fordham because there's not a lot of NIL, but that's
where are
not
you
what,
on this, folks?
I think I got $100.
I'm telling
you. Got five on it?
I got a left sneaker for somebody.
Andrew Bogish, Michael Kay, Mike Breen, Emmanuel Barbari. Let's get all the Fordham broadcasters to pull some money. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to get into Michael Kay's pockets, but I know that dude has at least $100.
Yeah, something tells me the voice of the Yankees has $100.
Yeah, I would leave me and Emmanuel out for now. Let's focus on Kay and Breen and Tony Reale. Like, that's where the cash is.
Sorry, your friend Tony Reale.
It's like Northwestern basketball and football. You can have the most amazing journalist covering your college team. That's not necessarily going to translate to wins.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, Syracuse has, like, dabbled in an NCAA tournament title once in a while, and Northwestern plays Big Ten football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Fordham hasn't been, Missouri, at least in the tournament. 91 was the last time Fordham was in it.
Yeah, but their outstanding journalism school didn't help last night against Drake's defense. That's
I love
what I'm
that
saying.
You guys still think that journalism is a thing.
Oh, here she comes again.
Well, and
downer.
I laugh and I laugh. Well, good luck to Fordham in their search for...
Chris Percy Einen as well. He's got some money from him to
that,
into the
that
Fordham.
That is a deep cut that no one understands.
Nope.
I lost you at Iona, so...
Patino's not still there? No. He's at St. John's.
Who's Mike Breen?
There you go. Well, thank you, Bogish. Coming up, lots more to do, including this one, an idea that's coming across our desk. It's just crazy enough to work. I actually love this for a down-and-out NFL team. Should it 100% happen? We'll get to that next. Manny's finally discovered Tina Turner. Took you a minute, but I'm glad you finally landed on it.
I never heard this one.
Mad Max 2 in the Maggie Perloff sequels bracket, unfortunately, just bit the dust hard to Naked Gun 2.5, but Perloff was nice enough to serenade us with Tina Turner's, a version of Tina Turner's We Don't Need Another Hero. So thank you for that. If you missed that, the Maggie Perloff podcast, I'm assuming that will remain in the pod.
Oh, of course.
No copyright violation there. And you can also hit the rewind function on the free-to-download Odyssey app. Million ways you can get the show.
Some might say that the Odyssey app is simply the best, better than all the rest.
Some have said that. Okay, we'll get back to March Madness in just a moment. But, Pearl, I don't want to bore people with the details about this. Let's just take the big picture, which is the Cleveland Browns are looking to build a new stadium.
Yep.
Now, it's going to go through that usual friction that generally these things do with the local community and politicians and then the billionaire owners who want to get the stadium done. And there's a little added layer on this because of the history of Cleveland with the team moving out of the city and kind of leaving the city high and dry. Yep. And so there's a couple other extra wrinkles, there's an Art Modell clause or something that's in there so that you don't get devastated again. But bottom line is, Browns want to build a new stadium and they want it to be indoors. This is the best thing that the Cleveland Browns could possibly do.
How so?
The Cleveland Browns have been disappointing their fans for years and decades.
Yep.
There is no edge that they hold right now in the AFC North. The rest of the team, Steelers, Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, everyone's outside, right? This is the cold weather, black and blue division is what we used to call it. But this has not helped the Browns at all. They get nothing from being one of these cold weather teams. Flip the script on everyone. Play your games indoors and see if that helps you at all finally become a real threat in this very tough division.
Okay, but I like your logic, but you know that dome teams and warm weather teams traditionally struggle in the playoffs.
How about getting to the playoffs consistently, though? I mean, let's walk before we can run here. You're the Browns. You're not a slam dunk playoff team.
And they've made it twice under Stefanski in 5 years.
And how much do they make? How often do they make it before that?
Not at all. I mean, when you're saying it's called the factory of sadness, But if you, I understand what you're saying, and I agree. It'd be a great, you know, you could become a high-octane team. It'd be awesome. But you don't, generally, dome teams struggle. Because if you have to go outside to Kansas City, or you have to go outside to Philly, or you have to go outside to New England, you're in big trouble come playoff time. So does that worry you at all? Because you're Cleveland, you should be tough. You know, it's sort of a blue-collar city. I don't know if you want to become the soft, you know, look at Minnesota. You know, they win a ton of games. They get the regular season, they get killed. Look at Indy with Peyton Manning. If they had to go outdoors, it was always a disadvantage. So I'm not so sure.
Listen, I'm looking at teams that coming that's coming in fourth place out of four teams and third place out of three teams. This is a Browns team that it's not even a given that you're going to get more than 6 or 7 wins in a season, let alone making the playoffs. So if I can do anything to try to give my team some sort of advantage, maybe it lures in free agents. Who knows what it is? You could just change the whole trajectory of the franchise by simply going along with the, you know, the plans that are already out there, which is the whole thing would be enclosed in glass. And listen, I'm not a huge fan of the Browns ownership. The Haslams, I think, have been at times flat out embarrassing. They've had off the field stuff in terms of lawsuits and things of that nature. And what they did and how they, you know, basically rolled out the red carpet for Deshaun Watson is going to turn out to be one of the all time blunders in the history of professional sports. But this I like from them. I do like this. You're talking about, let's worry about what's right in front of us, which is being a consistent playoff team before you worry about, oh, can I beat the Chiefs in Kansas City? We are so far from that.
I understand what you're saying, but they're at a glory stage, right? I mean, with Kevin Stefanski, they've made it twice in 5 years. Before that, they hadn't made it since 2002.
I know.
So the trend is positive.
Sure.
The factory
Stefanski's
sadness.
Stefanski's on the hot seat. Yeah, I don't know if it's positive. Who's their quarterback?
TBD, maybe Shedeur Sanders. Todd McShay's out there stomping for him, making an effective case. I don't know that being indoors is going to be fast enough to help Shedeur, by the way, if he does go there.
Well, this wouldn't even happen until like 2028 or something. Probably the best case scenario. I think that's when the lease is up. But
yeah, even longer. And then they have to build it. You do bring a good point, but I do worry about these indoor teams. It's really hard to win. Because if you have to go outside, you get soft. You know, like, we're basically, if you go to Florida for 2 weeks and you come back to the Northeast, it feels like it's 0 degrees outside.
Yeah, I love that. I love that's what the big concern is for the Browns, team that has been such a disappointment. I mean, they're so far from being a Super Bowl team, they can't even be a consistent playoff team. And so, yeah, put this team inside. They need it.
This is a team that, by the way, they went 2 seasons with 1 win.
Yeah, I know.
The Hugh Jackson, they're way better than they were. You have to give me that.
Congrats. I mean, they went a season with 1-15 and then 0-16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Remember when they were on Hard Knocks and there was a fight with Freddie Kitchens and Todd Haley? These are the glory days right now. And by the way, I think they're an interesting team next year, depending on what they do at quarterback, because they got Myles Garrett back. There's 2 options. Either you go Shedeur Sanders or Abdul Carter. If you get Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett on defense and bring in Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins, you're not going to be interested in this team. I mean, we're talking possibly 8 or 9 wins, Meg.
Yeah, thank the heavens, 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, that's not being a contender. Your best player basically had to say, you're going to have to overpay me by so much just for me to stay here.
Yeah.
They're not in a good spot. This is not the golden era.
That was a smart negotiating ploy by Myles Garrett.
Coming up, speaking of the AFC North, could Mike Tomlin's seat be a little hotter than we think? One of his former players just aired out the team. I'll tell you what they said next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.